sarcastic tone. I'm a bit underwhelmed by the sample show. Mr. Piss Drunk Fraternity Guy, pick up a asshole, bloodshot eyes. Get drunk and fight every night. Idolize Bradley, belittle women's rights. Homophobic, racist, and don't give a fucking hey. Do you think you can drive a bigger truck? So wear your baseball cap to decide to let everyone know that you're a nice guy. I was so cool, was so impressed. Lots of chicks and a barrel chest. Cause you're a real man, punch for punch. Gonna piss in your face while you're passed out drunk. I'm a nice guy, you're a nice guy. A nice guy who speaks through his fists. Prick with a penchant for messing with heads. A broken nose for dinner and breakfast in bed. Alcoholic, paranoid, and suicidal too. But you're probably kill her before she gets away from you. Swears in a pool of blood and cry. All your friends say that you're a nice guy. Have a drink, this one's on me. Look, you're doing fine, losing to your disease. Donuts, I'll pack your bags. Bury you alive, catch me then, guy. Oh, I'm a nice guy. A man in a word of pride.
Fuck off, jerk off.
I don't wanna hear it.
Fuck off, jerk off.
Read into the lyrics. So let the fucking pill quench your thirst. As long as you remember that nice guy's finish first.
Everybody, welcome to the Plex. Welcome, podcast listeners. We do the show live every Sunday, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific on Twitch. Also, I guess on Facebook Live, we're in the Prayer Works group tonight, and on Odyssey. But subscribe to or follow our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/EchoPlexMedia. We're live 7 days a week. And I don't know, I'm producer Dave. You can find me damn near anywhere.
I'm the Media Wench, and you can find me right here on EchoPlex Media. Check out the Monday show, Meltdown Monday. Starts at 7 p.m. and goes until 10. Then we raid somebody random here on Twitch. Check out our Discord at discord.me/echoplex and fucking hang out, join the Now Space. And I guess producer Dave is going to give the people what they want and let us know that everything's fine.
Everything's fine and everything's fine and it's great. Thanks. Everything's fine and everything's fine and it's great. Everything's fine and everything's fine and it's great. Thanks. Everything's fine and everything's fine. I hope you have a real nice day. The weather, the traffic, the time, and the news. How's your commute? What do you do? Sorry I'm late. I kept hitting snooze. It's just one of those days. You know what they say. It is what it is. Ignorance is bliss. When it rains, it pours. Couldn't ask for more. What goes around comes around, all in good time. I guess that your guess is as good as mine.
Everything's fine and everything's fine and it's great.
Everything's fine and everything's fine. I hope you have a real nice day.
Everything's not fine. And we're going to get right to the docket here. So we got our first clip is Libertarian S.E. Cup goes after Fox News for claiming that the new variants or the new variant of COVID is created by the Democrats to win an election. As we well know, the Democrats don't really do anything that would help them win an election.
No, didn't this happen last time?
The nation will hear from President Biden today on the administration's planned response to the Omicron variant. It will take a couple weeks to figure out how much of a threat this thing really is. And the last thing anyone needs now is mindless politicking. But has that stopped people? Of course not. Texas Congressman Ronnie Jackson, a Republican, labeled Omicron the midterm election variant and claimed Democrats are using it to win elections. And on Fox TV, in reference to Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg and his comments the U.S. needs to tackle the pandemic before it can solve the supply chain problem, listen to this.
And now we see these new variants. So that's the answer, is more lockdowns, more fear. And therefore, he doesn't have to do his job of fixing the supply chain because we'll just keep this whole thing going.
Okay, this isn't about the thing that's in the clip, but it turns out that the U.S. Secretary of Transportation doesn't have the ability to fix the supply chain. The supply chain involves many countries.
Right.
Yo, right. That's really dumb.
It's always a new variant.
And you can always, you'll count on a variant about every October, every 2 years.
We played that clip last week.
John Avalon, SE, is a CNN political commentator. John is CNN senior political analyst and author of Washington's Farewell and Wingnuts. How about that for sober analysis, SE?
Well, listen, Fox is a drug, man. And that doesn't happen overnight, where three people who are intelligent, who've been around a while, who have done this for a while, I know those people, decide, well, I've got a big platform. I'm going to say that a very dangerous new variant 9,000 miles
potentially
away.
Dangerous new variant.
Potentially yeah. Dangerous new variant 9,000 miles away is the invention of an American political party that has somehow convinced the host country, the WHO, NIH, and all the other countries doing lockdowns to believe in this, which sounds bonkers. It sounds bonkers. And yet, all three of them kind of in unison. Oh, yeah, just very cavalierly joking that this is probably a political invention. It is irresponsible, but that's the floor.
I don't like S.E. Cup either. She's a libertarian and she usually has bad takes on stuff, but again, like throughout COVID, she's been good. She could have gone the other way and raised her platform in a significant way, and she knows it, and she didn't do it. So like, I ain't a fan. She's welcome on the Plex anytime. She starts spouting libertarian nonsense, though. I'm going to make fun.
But didn't they say this shit in the fucking beginning? Like, not in the beginning, but right before, I think, Inauguration Day. It's like, oh, wait, you know, 2-3 weeks or whatever. We're never going to hear about COVID again, right? And that has certainly not been the case.
Right. They didn't think, they were trying to get other people to believe that COVID was like an invention basically by the left or whatever, possibly through a critical race theory factory or something, to get to make Trump look bad.
Right.
They're like, and as soon as the new guy comes in, there's going to be no more virus. And I'm like, when we covered a little bit about that, but that's not how a virus works. And like, why?
Right.
Like every other country's in on it. I mean, come on. Come on.
That's evil. That is evil to get up and tell your viewers, don't worry about it. It's probably just made up. And so don't believe any of the other science. Don't believe
start craving. These people are vaccinated and like,
because it's
get COVID tested weekly and Democrats. Shit.
I don't know another word for that.
It's certainly beyond cynical in the back against a backdrop of 750,000 Americans dead.
They have money.
And a lot of these folks do know better, but they're playing to the cheap seats. Or they're playing to the C-suites. They're two scenarios here. But look, you got someone like Dr. Ronny Jackson, who one day will also figure out what happened to that cat, who's a doctor, who's the one saying this is a midterm election variant. Pandemics don't care about politics. We should know that by now. So let's have more of an actual fact-based conversation, which involves communicating like adults and not just trying to scare the hell out of everybody and find partisan advantage. And
it's also absurd to think that any Democrat would think this helps them. That in and of itself is ridiculous. The other thing is, this is going to be about science. Either this is a real huge problem or it's not. Let's hope it's not.
Yeah.
But let's not spread lies while we're waiting.
Well, John knows this as well as anyone. There used to be moments of, over the past 100 years, very intellectually rigorous debate within the conservative movement. The rise of neoconservatism, for example. People like Irving Kristol and Ayn Rand and Barry Goldwater having really interesting conversations about what the movement is. The project of the Republican Party today is real simple. It's dumb in its simplicity. It's two parts. Ready? Part one, tell people they're aggrieved. They might not know it, but they are aggrieved.
Sure.
Part two, tell them who's to blame. So Anthony Fauci is to blame. Big Bird is to blame. Ilhan Omar is to blame. Democrats are to blame.
Dude, when I even SE Cup figured this shit out, like, yo. That clip's like long, so we're not going to finish it. But even SE Cup kind of figured out what the fuck they're doing. Like when SE Cup has your number and you're an idiot, that means you're an idiot.
When the idiots start calling you idiots, then you have to start thinking maybe it's me.
Like when the libertarian talking heads start calling you a dumb fuck, things have gone completely potato over on your side of the on your side of the conversation.
Yeah.
We're going to stay in our Fox Host Saying Dumb Things segment here. This is Fox Host Laura Logan's going to talk about Dr. Mengele.
And so in that moment, what you see on Dr. Fauci, this is what people say to me, that he doesn't represent science to them. He represents Joseph Mengele, Dr. Joseph Mengele, the Nazi doctor who did experiments on Jews during the Second World War and in the concentration camps. And I am talking about people all across the world are saying this because there was
no
COVID. What it has done.
Well, if people all across the world are saying it, it's because people that go on Fox News said it and then they fucking go repeat it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, people who believe this shit didn't make it up.
Right.
They didn't all simultaneously make up the same conspiracy theory. That's not how any of this works.
Mm-mm.
There's no way that's how any of this works.
Done to countries everywhere. What it has done to civil liberties, the suicide rates, the poverty. It has obliterated economies. The level of suffering that has been created because of this disease is now being seen in the cold light of day, i.e. the truth. And people see that there's no justification for what is being done.
Yeah, this is incorrect. This isn't Dr. Mengele or anything like that. Like, this is just conspiracy theory being spread. And like the way she talked about it is like, oh, all these people think this. Well, they heard it somewhere. They didn't just come up with it all on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not how any of this works. People like hear things places. Here's more of Fox News.
Got it from you. All right.
Learned it from watching you. So, this is going to be people on Fox News, interestingly, being like, well, why, you know, people aren't getting vaccinated at a high rate and they're going to try to blame Biden for the fucking monster that Fox News created.
You mentioned that that tweet from then candidate Joe Biden. This was back in 2020 after then President Trump imposed a travel ban. And candidate Biden wrote, "A wall will not stop the coronavirus. Banning all travel from Europe or any other part of the world will not stop it. This disease could impact every nation and any person on the planet, and we need a plan to combat it." He also wrote in, this was a little earlier, in February of 2020, he tweeted, "We are in the midst of a crisis with the coronavirus. We need to lead the way with science, not Donald Trump's record of hysteria, xenophobia, and fear-mongering. He is the worst possible person to lead our country through a global health emergency."
That tracks.
Yeah, the Joe Biden who has people like helping him craft his tweets. I wish that guy was the president. I don't agree with his politics, but it's all like... it's all like on point.
All that tracks.
And yet this year we have lost more people in this country to COVID than we did during the first year of the pandemic when Donald Trump was president. And now we have the vaccines.
Exactly so. The pandemic experience in March of 2020, which was 10 months before Donald Trump was out of office. President Biden, by coincidence, now has been in office for 10 months. More people have died under President Biden than under President Trump, and Biden inherited the vaccines.
Biden inherited the pandemic.
Right.
And the vaccines came months after he became president.
Well, and if we say that Biden inherited the vaccines, you know what he also inherited? He also inherited the anti-vaccine movement. So.
Fuck.
And like, I don't know, they made the vaccine quick. Nobody said it was perfect. It's good, though. Seems to work.
It has a higher efficacy rate than the flu vaccine.
And more people need to get it, not just here, but around the world. And we've done a bad job of that.
Yeah. Like you said earlier, they should just open source that shit.
Right. But, you know, that's fucking communism. That's literally what the Microsoft said about Linux when it first came out. They called it communism. I should find that clip and play it sometime.
Linux, my computer runs on communism.
Linux urinates on everything.
Pulse urinates on everything.
His arms around this in a way that the previous administration had not. But vaccination rate is only 58% here, considerably lower than in other places.
Why is that? Wait a minute. We just played fucking clips on Fox that were anti-vax. Like, what?
Are you expecting these people to make any kind of sense? They don't even watch each other's shows.
This guy's, he's the Washington Examiner editor-in-chief. That makes sense. Okay. It's like the Gateway pundit with more money.
And as I say, what this is just a way of looking like he's doing something meaningful, but in fact not managing this thing very well at all.
Well, he pledged that he was going to get 70% of the country vaccinated. That hasn't happened.
You're against forced vaccination and vaccine mandates, too. Well, maybe not you personally, but your network has been doing all this shit about vaccine mandates. Oh,
I know. We're fucked.
Don't want to get the vaccine. And I am one who has been vaccinated. But if people don't want to get the vaccine, can you blame the president that they don't want to do it?
Well, perhaps not, but then you shouldn't claim that you're going to do it. I mean, I think that getting vaccinated is always a matter of is a matter of personal choice. You know, one of the decades-long cries of the left is "my body, my choice," and this is an area where the people are making the choice not to get vaccinated. I have been vaccinated, and I think that everybody should get vaccinated. I think it's wise to do, but. If you're not going to be able to do it, you shouldn't claim that you're going to get it done. And what's happened is there's a big gap now between what President Biden said he would do and what he has managed to do.
So it's window dressing, you're saying, what the White House is doing?
Yes, to a great extent it is. There's a whole range of issues on which the Biden administration is facing crises. It was, there was obviously Afghanistan, there's the border, there's inflation, there's gas prices, one thing after another, there's COVID. They're not being managed well, and that's one of the reasons why President Biden's popularity is tanking and his, his approval, et cetera, public approval.
His approval is tanking because people on the left don't like that he's not doing anything he said he's going to do. And people on the right were never going to like him.
Yeah.
I think that's like most of it is like he made a bunch of promises to like progressives, both publicly and behind closed doors. And then we ended up hearing about the things he told like progressive leaders behind closed doors. And he's not doing any of them. So like the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, which is bigger than a lot of people think it is, doesn't like him that much. And so maybe half of them approve and half of them don't. And then everybody like to the right of Hillary Clinton doesn't like the guy because he's a liberal.
Well, it's also like underestimate the position of the people that are on the left that aren't progressive and will just, like ideas that are too progressive, you know, they'll fucking vote against their own interests too, even though they're shooting themselves in the foot. Amongst because they'll end up with
Democrats,
the not so progressive left,
down, you know, very, very low. And that's because we'll he's not succeeding. And he made extravagant promises about the restoration of norms, the restoration of competence, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, there's really been no improvement at all.
We just had up on the screen the photo of the president in the Oval Office meeting with his COVID team. He promised that in that piece of sound we played a little bit earlier. And there is the meeting with Dr. Fauci sitting in the middle. Ron Klain is chief of staff there on the right. That is the meeting. That's the Biden White House handling it for us. Washington Examiner, editor-in-chief Hugo Gurdon. Thank you.
That last thing they did like doesn't mean anything. They're like, oh, here's a picture of a meeting. They didn't fix everything after that meeting. They're not like that's a picture of the Biden administration trying to do things. And it's like, well, maybe, but it's just a fucking still frame of them in an office. Fuck. But yeah, it's look at this monster we helped create from Fox News. We get this all the time. It's like, oh, look, we fucked everything up and these people aren't fixing it the way we want them to, basically.
Boo-hoo for everyone.
But this is also the fault of like the Democrats, because the Democrats aren't like, well, fuck you. Like, they're not like, well, then what do you want? You don't want the vaccine mandate, but now you're bitching about the fact that everybody doesn't have the vaccine. Like, what do you want?
Like all these old ass fucking Republicans were like, hey, my nephew taught me how to play this social media game on fucking Facebook. And then like the Democrats were like, oh, but we're going to play again by the old rules because that's what's right and kind to do. And that's what's genuine. And that's how we play our game. And the Republicans are like, all right, Billy, go tell them fuck off on Twitter. And then like the Republicans are like, what are the Democrats like? Why are you telling me to fuck off on Twitter? That's so rude. And it's not how you politic. And little fucking Billy's like, ha, 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 go suck a fucking cock on fucking Twitter. And we don't know how to fucking, the establishment Democrats don't know how to come up against fucking Republican troll Billy nephew.
Well, and they don't want to listen to us, like people like us, people who have been like, you know, not just us, but people like Right Wing Watch, Jared Holt, who was at Right Wing Watch. I don't know where he's at now, but we got like Will Sommer, you got all the people at the Daily Beast do a good job covering extremism and the rightward shift of the Republican Party into cuckoo bird land. But they don't want to listen. Like, a lot of the establishment doesn't want to listen to those people because they fucking, I don't know, they either are afraid of communists or they don't want health care, or they're mad that a Bernie Sanders supporter called them a dumb fuck one time, or I don't know. Like, there's any number of reasons. And we're going to play a clip of one of the people who I think is generally in that category in their coverage of everything. But in this
Chat's
case,
getting fucked up.
In this case, I hope that Rachel Maddow latches on to this fucking weird shit going on in the QAnon community, the way she latched on to like the thing that happened in Russia. I mean, full on like trying to read the tea leaves for her viewers every night for a year, all of that. I hope she does that. Because if she's going to go on there and like speculate about something, she may as well speculate about something like QAnon and do the play by play of this shit. So if she's going to do that, that's cool. But I mean, I don't know, whatever, here we go. Here's a bit of her coverage of the thing between Flynn and Lynn Wood regarding QAnon and the sort of rift in that community.
That was published at the beginning of this month. So maybe it was this month. But in this call that Lynn Wood claims to have recorded, here is what Mike Flynn had to say about QAnon. Brace yourself.
I think it's a disinformation campaign. I think it's a disinformation campaign that the CIA created. That's what I believe. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but that's what I think it is. I think it's a disinformation campaign. It's actually a very interesting article today out that was sent to me. I'll send it to you. about how the QAnon movement has failed and all that, but I find it total nonsense, and I think it's a disinformation campaign created by the left.
Oh, he's
created by the left, a disinformation campaign. That's former Trump National Security Advisor, now QAnon darling, Mike Flynn, talking smack about QAnon on a phone call purportedly recorded and released by another QAnon celebrity who is fighting with Mike Flynn and fighting with a bunch of other Trump world folks. And pass the popcorn. You know, it is always fun to see guys like this fighting with each other, particularly when you think about how destructive the QAnon mass delusion has been to a lot of people who have been sucked down into it.
Okay, so that's great, Rachel. But while QAnon was boiling up and people were screaming from the tops of fucking whatever building they could get on about it, you were doing yet another segment about the impeachment and about Trump and Russia that went over the same ground that the segment you did last night and the night before and the night before and the night before went over. You every time like a new tidbit of information came out, Rachel Maddow was there. We have breaking news. An unnamed source said Trump peed on Ivanka in a Russian hotel or whatever the fuck was going on there. And she could have devoted some of that time to keeping an eye on what was going on with the QAnon cult as it came to prominence. And her producers or whatever chose not to. But now that that shit's gone and this is drama and she can probably get ratings on it, I hope she does this because a lot of shit libs watch Rachel Maddow and we like need them on our side in the fight against extremism.
Right. I'm glad that Flynn is finally feeling some of the anger and embarrassment and shame of being bamboozled by an orange man with a very long and ill-fitting suit and tie.
Oh, I think Flynn drank his own fucking Kool-Aid and drank the Kool-Aid of the fucking QAnon movement. I don't know. Donald Trump kind of, he said a few things about QAnon, but he sort of stayed away from it. I think Michael Flynn self-radicalized when he started becoming popular in the Q sphere and got busted. He figured that maybe a better grift was to try to go after these Q people than to try to get some more Donald Trump's money. But like I said, I'm no fan of Rachel Maddow. I think she left a lot of shit on the table during the impeachment process and the discussions about Russia, where she should have been at a much broader buffet of content she was covering. Cause there's a lot of other shit going on and she has a popular show. And like I said, a lot of moderate Democrats and a lot of lifelong Democrats watch her and she could have done a better job of informing the public during that. But in this case, I hope she goes full fucking, I hope she goes full Russiagate on the QAnon thing. Cause that'll be great. That'll be great. All these fucking normies getting exposed to like, what do you mean? Where we go one, we go all. Wait a minute. What JFK Jr.? What? Like all the normies getting exposed to this crazy might like radicalize some of them. And that's good. And by radicalize them, I mean, I don't know, get them to listen to Will Sommer and Jared Holt and maybe the Plex, you know, because she does have an audience and a lot of people like her. So I'm glad she did this hit on it. And I hope she does more hits on this as it gets more and more crazy. She has good producers and she has a team of researchers and we don't. So, but I don't know if she'd like to hire me to cut the fucking research extremism for her show. I'd take the money and never tell you about it. I'd tell you, Media Wench, but I'd make you not tell the chat about it. They'd all leave. And then we get a bunch of Maddow viewers here. And I don't know how I'd feel about that. So I have bad fucking news for you for 2022. And I think I'm just going to give you the bad news.
My parents came to America to find a better life. And they did. I attended great universities, raised a family, and became a successful surgeon. I invented a heart valve that saves thousands of lives. Then I started a TV show to advocate for you taking control of your health and took on the medical establishment to argue against costly drugs and skyrocketing medical bills. But COVID has shown us that our system is broken. We lost too many lives, too many jobs, and too many opportunities because Washington got it wrong. They took away our freedom without making us safer and tried to kill our spirit and our dignity. As a heart surgeon, I know how precious life is.
Heart surgeons do heart surgery.
Pennsylvania needs a conservative who will put a...
And he stopped doing heart surgery.
Reignite our divine spark. Bravely fight for freedom and tell it like it is. That's why I'm running for Senate. I'm Dr. Oz and I approve this message.
Cable television? Daytime television? Does daytime television have a Senate representative?
Pennsylvania.
Didn't even say what state.
Pennsylvania.
His dad didn't even say what state.
Pennsylvania.
I know. But it's like he's running for Senate for the daytime television.
He lives in Jersey, by the way. So
he should have stuck to heart surgery.
Wait, how do I get the... I need to find this somewhere else. Oh, well, whatever. Wait, why isn't... Oh, there it is. Okay, cool. I'll find it. So I was really surprised. Here's a podcast I listen to basically every week. This is Pivot. It's with Kara Swisher and Scott Galloway. I generally like Scott Galloway, and I was fucking stunned to hear this. Scott Galloway is... I defend him sometimes when people like talk shit on him or whatever, because I think he's generally all right. But here we go.
Like an elite. She has a very interesting needle to thread. Also in election news, by the way, speaking of which, someone you probably can say bad things about, Dr. Oz is running for Senate in Pennsylvania, even though he lives in New Jersey.
Why can't I say bad things about him?
Oh, you can. No, I'm just kidding. I'm saying you can't find a good thing to say about him.
So you want to hear my view?
Quack. Yeah, go ahead.
Want to hear my view? Yeah. I 100% am going to support Mehmet Oz. I'm going to give money to the campaign. And I will put my name on it, despite the immense amount of shit I'll get, including from your brother. I have known Mehmet Oz and his family for over 25 years.
Oh, no.
He's a good man. He's a great husband. He's a great father. And not only that, we need more centrists on both sides. I'm a huge fan of Mehmet Oz. Count me as a supporter.
I don't know. He's Trump leaning. We're going to really part ways on this one. He has peddled so much snake oil. And his stuff around COVID was very problematic. And I'm not like speaking like this. It was, I don't know what happened to him.
I don't know what happened to him.
And I don't think, by the way, he doesn't live in Pennsylvania. As someone who was born in Pennsylvania, my family's
Neither does Senator Clinton. I mean,
well,
come on.
You know what? I don't love any of that. Right. I don't love any. It's opportunistic. And his like bear hug of Trump is gross. Like he's not a Trump supporter.
What choice do they have, Kara?
They do have a choice. They do.
What Republican has not bear hug Trump? It has not been a bear hug. It's been a mild hug. He was not the Trump endorsed candidate. What? First, let's throw that out there. Two, and let me be clear. On the junk science stuff and the attempt to grab attention because he was running a show every day, he fucked up. And I think he knows that, and he's paid a price for it. Nah. And if we're going to continue to look at every frame of everyone's life and cancel them based on one stupid decision, this is a guy—
I'm not canceling him. I think he's a consistent oaf.
We need more doctors. We need more healthcare professionals. We need more centrists and moderates on both sides of the aisle. We need people with character—
Agreed.
—who demonstrate professional—
Agreed.
—excellence.
Okay, yeah, Scott Galloway, I'm not going to defend him anymore. What do you mean he got canceled for making a bad decision? His whole show for the whole fucking time was telling you to, like, eat some berries or some shit instead of, like, going to your doctor. Like, he was doing this. It's not like he just one time had a bad take on his show. His show was, like, he, like, hucked alternative medicine on his show. That was the point of the Dr. Oz show.
Right. And it's not like his bear hug of Trump was 15 years ago. It was like 2 years ago. This is recent shit. 2 years ago was recent enough.
And on the misinformation stuff, he's like, oh, we're going to cancel him for it. It's like, well, yeah, because he didn't come out and fucking— he'd come out and be like, hey, I peddled misinformation and I did it for money and that was wrong. I'm going to endeavor to be a you know, a clear and concise and accurate science communicator from here on out. But all that happened here is Scott Galloway, like, met him. He was nice to him. And there's no class solidarity, like upper class solidarity, let me tell you. And so he's fucking, oh, his family was lovely. And I thought he was great. He was nice to me. That's what I got from that. And that's bullshit. And I'm fucking personally pissed. I'm personally, like, bothered by this because I defended Scott Galloway a lot of times. Because I thought he was generally pretty thoughtful, doesn't share my politics necessarily, definitely like more establishment Democrat, possibly conservative Democrat. But generally on COVID, Pivot has been a really good source of information, a really good place to go, really good place to send normies for information about what's going on the internet in Silicon Valley. And now I don't know if, like, what the fuck? What the fuck? I'm fucking pissed. But also good on Kara Swisher for just being like, no, that guy's a quack. No.
But be like you being like, you know, like we us finding out that. That like Dave Rubin is running for Senate and you're like, and I'm like, this is just blah, blah. And you're like, you know what? I'm okay with it.
Right. He had me over. He had Jordy Pete over. So there wasn't any vegetables, but the steak was lovely. His husband's lovely. His studio's great. He was very nice to me. They had really good vodka. They're like, you're right. It's the same thing, except that Pivot has a lot more listeners than we do. But yeah, it's exactly that. It's like, and again, it's just no class solidarity, like upper class solidarity. These are two rich people and yeah. They had probably a lovely $600 a plate dinner somewhere. And, you know, the men invited the dude over to his big fucking house. And I guess that's what you do to get Scott Galloway on your side, no matter what your politics are and no matter what you've done to the world. That Dr. Oz show probably did more harm to the world than InfoWars.
Because he has fucking, like, the knighthood of fucking Oprah behind him, too.
Oprah. Oprah's the worst. Oprah's, like, she gave us Dr. Oz. She gave us Dr. Phil.
Oh, John of God.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to move on. Geraldo sometimes is the only one on Fox News who gets it right. This, not one of those times. Not one of those times. Absolutely.
I am outraged by the Maxwell case. You talked about Daryl Brooks, the creep who ran over his girlfriend, then killed six people in the parade, and he was out of $1,000 bail. Ghislaine Maxwell has been in jail for 17 months for no bail. They gave her no bail. She is sitting.
Dude, she ran a fucking child sex trafficking ring, Geraldo.
Reasonable.
You don't let her out.
In prison prior to trial, accused, get this, of events that happened between 1994 and 1997.
She's a flight risk.
Even the people on the Five are like, Geraldo, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I think this is on the Five. Oh, it is the Five. When the people on the Five are like, what the fuck, Geraldo? Instead of like yelling at him about Mexicans like they usually do.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just that. He's like, oh, somebody who did vehicular manslaughter got on $1,000 bail. Well, first of all, they're just accused of it. But yeah, she's a flight risk. She has connections all over the world to powerful and influential people who she hooked up with underage fucking sex partners.
Who have a vested interest in her keeping her fucking mouth shut.
$8.5 million bond.
She's going to escape to a country that has no extradition.
So you take...
Like even Waters.
You throw her in solitary confinement.
Allow me to educate you on solitary the federal bail law.
17 months.
You're defending 17 a months. Sex trafficker.
I am underage defending justice.
Sex trafficker.
Oh my God. Can somebody check? Is Geraldo on that list? Was Geraldo hanging out with weird ass Steven Pinker on the plane? Oh, that's smart, right? Dude, when the people on the Five tell you that you're being crazy and they're on the correct side of something, you're being very crazy. This show, we've watched this show, and usually Geraldo's like, whoa.
The prosecutor in this case are guilty of political lawyering.
She deserves to sit in jail.
Because you don't even know she's guilty. How do you know?
Because she's a flight risk because she was hiding during COVID.
She was not hiding.
In the Northeast.
She bought a house.
Yes,
in
she
New
was.
Hampshire.
A $1 million house.
They hold her.
Let me educate you
because
really
they don't
quickly.
Have a case.
Let me
they
speak.
Have no case.
Oh, this is the case. Segment I'm running.
They're trying
here's,
not to try Jeffrey
here's
Epstein.
Here's the federal bail law. You're allowed in 1984, Congress passed federal bail law. You're allowed to deny bail on two grounds, flight risk and danger to the community.
Where is Ghislaine Maxwell going to hide? Where is she going to hide?
Everywhere.
She can hide overseas because nobody knows
right
where the money
here.
Is.
This is ridiculous.
Way to stand
injustice.
Up for a sex trafficker.
Mob justice.
One more thing is next.
Mob justice.
Yo! The people on the Five just dunked on Geraldo. I can't fucking believe that the people on the Five just dunked on Geraldo. Jesse Waters was like, what you're saying is crazy. Like Waters. Remember, I'm Waters.
I'm Waters, bitch. Now, Geraldo, like we've seen Geraldo be the voice of reason. And usually when he's arguing against fucking Squarehead, Dan Bongino, right? But yeah, anybody standing up for Maxwell has got like some invested interest in her not saying anything about them in particular.
Or his friends. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's not him directly. Maybe there's somebody he's associated with. But also that he could just be wrong. You know what I'm saying? It's also possible that what he just said is just fucking dumb and that he's just got the wrong fucking take. And he's like, oh, I'm going to stand up for justice and think everybody's entitled to like release if they're not convicted yet or whatever. But yo, that lady, I can't believe she didn't run as soon as Jeff got fucking arrested, actually. I'm stunned that she didn't run. She probably thought she was just going to make it or whatever. But yeah, Geraldo with the bad fucking take.
Geraldo with the bad take.
So Lauren Boebert had a phone call with Ilhan Omar, and she probably called her like all kinds of shit we can't say on the fucking stream. Because she's Muslim and Lauren Boebert ain't a fan of Muslim people or just brown people in general. So good on Omar for hanging up on this crazy lady. Be like, I've had enough of this. But actually hanging up on Lauren Boebert is fucking cancel culture. Check it out.
Hey, everyone. This is Lauren with a quick update on a phone call I had today with squad member.
Whoa, she sounds just like Peggy Hall.
She does.
Hi, healthy Americans. This is Peggy.
Hey, everyone. This is Lauren with a quick update on a phone call I had today with squad member Ilhan Omar. I had reached out to her Friday, and 3 days later, I was able to connect with her on the phone because I wanted to let her know directly that I had reflected on my previous remarks. Now, as a strong Christian woman who values faith deeply, I never want anything I say to offend someone's religion. So I told her.
Time out.
Even after I put out a
I never want anything that I say to be used against me, or do I ever want to be caught saying anything fucking froggy that I'm going to have to own up to later and defend with my Christian values.
Christian woman who values faith deeply, I never want anything I say to offend someone's religion. So I told her that. Even after I put out a public statement to that effect, she said that she still wanted a public apology because what I had done wasn't good enough. So I reiterated to her what I had just said. She kept asking for a public apology. So I told Ilhan Omar that she should make a public apology to the American people for her anti-American, anti-Semitic, anti-police rhetoric. She continued to press, and I continued to press back. And then Representative Omar hung up on me. Rejecting an apology and hanging up on someone is part of cancel culture 101, the pillar of the Democrat Party. Make no mistake, I will continue to fearlessly put America first, never sympathizing with terrorists. Unfortunately, Ilhan can't say the same thing, and our country is worse off for it.
What the
She's
fuck?
She's so unbelievably stupid. Galactically fucking stupid. I hate her so much.
Oops, it's just really, really fucking, like, how do you deal with that? Like, she's like, I don't want to offend anyone's religion. And maybe the whole thing wasn't about necessarily just religion.
I made up a story. People called me out on it. Now I have to defend myself for fucking saying that I'm Christian, but obviously not doing Christian things. So y'all want to fucking cancel me for it. How dare you?
Yeah, she just doubled down basically and called her a terrorist. It's like, well, why do you think she hung up on you?
Like, is this how you apologize?
Right. This doesn't seem very apologetic to me.
No, it doesn't.
All right. We're going to skip ahead a little bit. We're going to skip one story here. We're not going to get through all of this. So here's Candace Owens, Candace Owens-ing. On the fucking Tucker Carlson show.
Her suit is nowhere near as black as Tom Cruise's. I'm just saying.
Brooks is a BLM supporter and a black nationalist with the history of expressing anti-white race hate on social media. On November 21st, Brooks ran over dozens of people who were attending a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Six of those victims have died so far, including an eight-year-old boy. This is what the attack looked like.
Showing this is in poor taste. We have only showed it in the context of right-wing media showing it.
So how did this happen? Well, of course, we don't know yet. There's been no trial. There aren't enough available facts. But we do know that this comes within the context of the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, which had nothing whatsoever to do with race. But for more than a year, our national media framed it as some sort of referendum on American race relations and white supremacy. They made it all about race. It's possible that Daryl Brooks bought into that propaganda. It seems to be all over his Facebook account. So the media may be responsible for these murders, having
wait, what? No.
And certainly a lot of other people in the country.
Wait a minute. This is the same guy who puts out like great replacement propaganda and then suggests and says that it's wrong for people to suggest that that propaganda that he's putting out might be responsible for like violence or anti-immigrant sentiment. But now he's just saying that he's saying that same thing about other people because it's like convenient for him.
Well, Tucker has God on his side.
That's right. And the Swanson fortune, actually.
Rittenhouse case was about race. They had a role in this, in other words. So it probably shouldn't surprise you that the national media have zero interest in explaining what exactly happened in Waukesha. Over on MSNBC, for example, they've been telling you the attack was really just an accident.
One thing I do worry, actually two things, Stephanie, is one is the idea of contagion. Whether it has anything to do with this accident last night and the killing of these people, others might be thinking of an attack like this somewhere in the world.
Oh, it was an accident. Meanwhile, at CNN, they've identified a culprit. It wasn't Daryl Brooks. It wasn't the national media whipping the country into a frenzy of suspicion and racism. No, it was the car. Quote, a car drove through a city Christmas parade, killing six people and injuring scores of others.
That's how you make a headline when you don't have information.
Yeah.
That was like the day of the event, maybe. They didn't have all the information, so a car drove through there. That's what happened.
And quote, the Washington Post agreed with this, quote, here's what we know so far in the sequence of events that led to the Waukesha tragedy caused by an SUV, end quote. So which SUVs are the most dangerous? Why are they still being sold? How many of them might just drive off the lot and wind up in the middle of a parade? The Washington Post didn't explain. Candace Owens may know the answer. She's the host of Candace. She joins us.
Oh,
Candace, thanks so much for coming on. So it was the car's fault. Why are they telling us this?
They're telling us this because it just goes completely against their narrative. The facts of this case goes against their narrative. They are so race obsessed. And one thing I always say, Tucker, is that the left can pull a racist narrative from thin air where it doesn't exist. But when it actually is in their face, they try to avoid it at all costs, especially when the perpetrator is a black person against another white person, which obviously happens more often in this country, given
that
Americans are the most murderous group in America. Now, what's interesting here is that the two biggest race cases of the last 2 years, arguably George Floyd and Kyle Rittenhouse, never actually produced a single piece of evidence pointing to race, right? George Floyd, Derek Chauvin never used racial language or racial slurs against George Floyd during that arrest. It didn't matter. It became the biggest race case in America. Kyle Rittenhouse, that case had to do with three white people. It didn't matter. They extracted a racial narrative for that case. Here you have a man who was pointedly talking about white people all across social media.
But the parade wasn't the white people parade.
Get it, dude.
The parade, it wasn't like here's a white people Christmas parade.
Sharing posts from Zimbabwe, news sources talking about the disappearance of white people in the country in the next 5 years as if it was a good thing, talking about...
Wait, Tucker Carlson talks about that too.
...violently against black people. Multiple posts pointing to the fact that this man hated white people. He was anti-white, he was a racist, he was a black nationalist, and that's exactly why the media does not want to talk about this case. They also don't want to talk about this case, Tucker, because it goes against their criminal justice reform, right? We're just going to let these criminals out over and over and over again. This man should have been in prison, mostly because for tons of reasons, he has a 50 page long rap sheet, but particularly because the week before,
does he have a 50 page long rap sheet?
Accident with that same van, another accident into the mother of his child. I mean, he was a violent criminal who was allowed onto the streets because leftists and progressives keep wanting district attorneys to release black criminals so that it
no people are released when their sentence is over.
So they're implicated in this. I mean, basically, if you examined this honestly, you'd have to examine the things that you're trying to impose on the country and admit maybe they're not working, and they're not willing to do that.
They're not willing to do that. And beyond that, let's be very clear, like Daryl E. Brooks was radicalized by the progressive agenda. He was radicalized by the Black Lives Matter narrative. His postings show you that. He believes in the narrative that police are out to hunt black men, that we have to raise up against white people and fight for our place in this country. He's learning that from the politicians, the left-wing politicians, the left-wing media sources that have been forcing this narrative down the throats of not just the adults, but the children in the school system. So yes, he was radicalized by leftist propaganda.
Ah, Candace Owens, I appreciate your coming on tonight.
I don't appreciate Candace Owens being on my show.
Ever. Sometimes
you got to do what you got to do.
ever. I don't appreciate Candace Owens. Ever.
So there was a school shooting up in Michigan, and we're not going to do too much coverage of it, but this was a really interesting take someone had. It was on the news. This is on Inside Edition, and somebody at Inside Edition has no idea what the fuck they're talking about.
One post from Ethan Crumbly declares, "Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds. See you tomorrow, Oxford." The quotation can be found in a gory video game.
"I am become death, the destroyer of worlds."
Fucking Oppenheimer said that after he fucking helped create the atomic bomb. It's one of the most famous quotes of the 20th century.
You know,
that's where it came from, and that's why it was in this video game. But it's this shit,
you know.
It's the shit again where they want to blame video games for violence, and there's no connection between video games and violence. Because other countries play video games and they don't have fucking school shootings like we do. They play hell of video games in Japan and ain't nobody shooting the school up there, you know?
And how I guess dare journalists investigate anything?
Well, it's Inside Edition right there. I mean, fucking Bill O'Reilly used to work there. So, one more clip about the school shooting up in Michigan. People are issuing threats of violence for like candlelight vigils and shit that are happening, because of the shooting.
"Future threats that we're going to face. And sadly, we're going to face more. I mean, we're inundated with threats right now. We have threats against the candlelight vigil last night. We have threats against memorials. We have threats against individual deputies or law enforcement. It's absolutely absurd that after a tragedy, we see a huge spike in threats, but that's what we're seeing."
So that's fucking, you know, I don't like the police very much, but that's awful that after a school shooting happens, then fucking people start issuing threats about the, like a candlelight vigil after the school shooting. Like what are they afraid of, the candles? Now we got the hill.
You know, I'm not surprised by any of the fucking bullshit that happens around fucking school shootings anymore. Like, it seems like everybody has lost their fucking mind.
I guess so. Everybody, probably us included, honestly. Let's be real here. Let's not include us, ourselves, and everyone. So this is from the Hill. This is going to seem kind of normal and kind of regular and kind of like, okay, you're going to agree with it until the last like 7 seconds. And then it becomes a what the fuck clip.
"Look at the photos of Ethan Crumbly people on social media and some media outlets are using. He's now 15, and yet they chose this angelic looking photo from about when he was 10. What is the purpose of this when there are several other photos like his mugshot that could have been shown instead? This same sort of tactic is used in reverse against black perpetrators and even victims. Rather than use their school photo of them smiling and looking like good kids, they use the meanest looking, most aggressive photo they can find on social media to portray them as villains. They attempt to portray them as people who either obviously would commit the heinous crime they did or victims who deserved it. They do this to placate a certain bias and mindset that the audience already holds, and the same looks to be happening in this case. Showing Crumbly as this innocent-looking angelic white kid is intended to stoke fear and support a narrative that white people, no matter how nice they look, are domestic terrorists who we should all be afraid of.
Whoa! Right? It all seemed to kind of track until, like, the last 5 seconds. That's the craziest thing I saw all week.
We need $33,000 a month.
We do. People, please help fund this project. We're trying to do the good work here. Here's Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro, who famously said when climate change starts to affect people on the coasts, when the water comes up, they can sell their houses and move. And H. Bomber guy said to who? Aquaman? And and so here's him talking about if Roe versus Wade were overturned, and his solution again to people who want an abortion is they could just fucking move.
And here's the thing. Even if Roe versus Wade is overturned, the law in New York is not going to be the same as the law in Mississippi. And everybody who studies law understands this because that was the case before Roe versus Wade. California had some pretty liberal abortion laws. New York had some pretty liberal abortion laws. And Texas had some pretty strict abortion laws before Roe versus Wade went into place. Nonetheless, the fact that the Supreme Court is now considering the possibility of disestablishing a constitutional right to abortion, which again, does not exist. It was made up out of whole cloth in an entire line of cases stretching all the way back to Griswold through Eisenstadt v. Baird, all the way up through Planned Parenthood versus Casey. That supposed constitutional right to abortion was made up directly out of the colons of Supreme Court justices who had political leanings in favor of a pro-choice position. Even if it were overruled, if ladies want to get abortions, all they have to do is not be in Texas. And they could go over the border to Mexico, and presumably they'd be able to get an abortion there. They could go over to California, get an abortion there. Listen, I would prefer a nationwide regime wherein no one can get an abortion except in cases where the mother's life is in danger. But that's not the way the federalist system works. And because of that, that means that there will be state differences in how abortion law is applied. But the left is losing it.
This is why Ben Shapiro's wife's vagina is made out of sand.
Yeah, his dry takes. So, while we're in the Daily Wire sphere, here's Matt Walsh. He's going to read his anti-trans book, Johnny the Walrus, to a group of preschoolers. You know, because that's a normal thing you would have happen at your preschool, is have Matt Walsh come on and read an anti-trans book to the kids.
Okay. Johnny's a boy with a big imagination. One day he's a dog, the next day a crustacean. It's like a crab or a lobster. One morning he came downstairs barking and clapping, wood spoons for tusks and sock fins a-flapping. He had spoons in his mouth, he was pretending to be a walrus. I'm Johnny the Walrus, he said with a roar. The wood floor's my ocean, the carpet's my shore. He's swimming around like a walrus, isn't that silly? Johnny's mom loves her son's make-believe time.
Oh no.
You're Johnny the Walrus till you change your mind, mommy says. But Johnny's mom's phone said it's not just pretend. So she went on her phone and there are people telling her that this isn't pretend, he's really a walrus. Only a bigot would say that. How dare you offend? What's a bigot? Anybody know?
They're fucking preschoolers.
Right? Mommy was told to take John for a checkup. All these people are holding signs. Johnny is a real walrus, one sign says.
Oh my God.
This is a real walruses. Let Johnny transition, all these people are saying. You'll need to eat worms and to put on gray makeup. The worms give you whiskers, the gray blends you in, the doctor says. And a simple procedure cuts feet into fins. The doctor wants to cut into Johnny and make him into a walrus.
That's scary.
It's gross eating worms, Mom.
Mm, I don't know. Maybe you can draw your own conclusions.
Sorry, kids.
You know, whatever. I have nothing to say. There's like 94 things fighting for supremacy in my brain right now.
I know, right? It's like, would Pat Robertson be more agreeable with that or with Drag Queen Story Hour?
I don't know. He's retired now, actually. So,
all the tequila was at the bottom.
All right. So we got one more clip that we're going to play during the podcast part of the show. Podcast listeners, do make sure you check us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/EchoPlexMedia. You can check out the whole show. You can even grab the replay if you're not here live. And if you just want the audio for while you're jogging or driving your car, patreon.com/EchoPlex. $5 a month or up, you get the entire audio capture. But also, if you're savvy, you can figure out how to do that from Twitch. So we're not really paywalling it. And you can just email me if you want the MP3. I'm not really going to keep you from having an MP3. So our last clip is Alex Jones. He says on air that he gets his coffee for his conspiracy coffee from a left wing Zapatistas group, the EZLN Rebel Army.
Juice for Jesus. Thank you for the gift set.
Why is it from Chiapas, Mexico? This is from, people say, why is it from Chiapas, Mexico, and the communist? Well, that's where some of the best coffee in the world, that's wild harvested, above organic, in the volcanic soil, better than Guatemalan coffee. And yeah, we buy it from the little farmers that, you know, the media calls communists, but really they're just a commune. And the point is that it's good coffee, and we've got it, and the farmers don't let the Mexican government take over. So I actually buy this from the Mexican rebels, and I've been buying it for, 14 years, and the price has never gone up. The same stuff sold at Whole Foods under another name for about 50% more per pound, and I just think it's some of the best coffee you're going to find anywhere. It's Wake Up America Patriot Blend from the Chiapas rebels, literally.
That's like a great fucking like bookend for the fucking podcast.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is like an anti-communist. He's like, the media calls them communists. He's taking the side of the media, or he's taking the side of communists, I guess, against the media. Alex Jones has lost the fucking thread. So whatever. You want to read us out, Media Wench?
Yes. Thank you for watching the Plex. We're about to do red light here. We're about to end the podcast version. If you would like the entire show from beginning to end in audio format, like producer Dave said, please go to our Patreon, patreon.com/EchoPlex. And yeah, $5 a month, you get the whole shebang. There's a bunch of other levels there. Please don't join at the ink toner cartridge level. That just causes nothing but problems. Stay tuned for Red Light. And thank you, everybody. Thank you for hanging out. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for subscribing every month. And if you want to join the chat and be part of some of the live elements of the show, follow us on Twitch.
This is Boomers by Periscope, because of course it is. We'll be right back.